That is so 90s.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Cheers and Prime Social. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I think both teams just realized what the hell was going on the last 2 days. You know, you can't really turn a blind eye to anything in today's day and age with social media and all these things, so everyone was aware of all the talk about officiating, about foul calls. Come out and play the game. And I think both teams did a great job of that. They weren't complaining about many calls. We weren't complaining about many calls because it's kind of embarrassing for the game of basketball. How much has been talked about fouls and officiating. Like, what about beating your man? What about stopping your man? No one talked anything about schemes the last 2 days. It's all been about foul calls. So I think both teams were just locked in on coming out and playing the game to the best of their ability, and you got to give credit to both clubs. Both teams did that.
You know, the last thing I need is Draymond Green being the voice of refereeing reason. He's the worst. The most technicals, screaming about every call. And right now, we don't need to be thinking about and making the referees an issue. Shut the bleep up.
I agree with them, but I don't need it from you. And the other thing is, it's always easy to make that comment when you're up 2-0. Same thing with, man, they were just, well, we got to tip our hats to the team that we just beat. What a great bunch of guys, and, you know, what a great series this was, and we really just tip our hat to those guys. You know who never says that? The team that loses never says, what a great team that just beat us. We want to tip our hats to those guys. They played phenomenal baseball. It's always the gracious winner. It's never the gracious loser. Same thing with, well, we just got to just go out there and play and talk about scheme and, you know, don't bring up the referees. We just need to go play ball. Oh, up to nothing. Of course, that's what you're saying. And once again, while I agree with it, it's really disingenuous coming from Draymond Green. It really is.
Mm-hmm.
I can't even focus. You are going to rue the day that you don't. I'm going to put some on a plate and hide this.
We watched the game at Tamaris last night, mm-hmm. which was awesome. And we, you know, we ate late. So I'm not. But Papa Charlie's is here. Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. It is awesome, huh? It's about to be on Channel 26 now, too.
Because I got a big plate of it.
Yeah.
I got a big plate of it. So, yeah, Pat McGinnity, who I recognize the New Orleans accent. It's a very distinct accent. At first, she's like, is that Boston? No, that's New Orleans. Mm-hmm. Pat McGinnity from Cypress Trail Hideout, which is out in Cypress, obviously.
Old Hempstead Road.
Yeah. It's the home of Papa Charlie's Barbecue is there. And this is really, if you're out in that area listening to
out
us right
Cypress.
Now. Boy, this is terrific. It's worth a trip.
And actually, our signal is good. Is it cloudy out today? I think our signal is good up there, actually. I've been up there. You can almost get it, you know, up to College Station, up to Highway 6 up there. So it's awesome, awesome, awesome. That's Papa Charlie's. It's at, what's the name of the place?
It's called Cypress Trail Hideout.
Cypress Trail Hideout.
Uh-huh. It's on Hempstead Road.
The brisket looked.
Oh, the brisket is fantastic.
Yeah. Good stuff. Way to go. We're going to be on Channel 26 with Nate in just a couple of minutes here on ESPN 97.5. We'll talk about this Rockets game and the loss. But the Astros won 11-0, okay? Sure, they didn't score a run. If I'm Verlander, I'm going, what the bleep? Mm-hmm. I mean, I give up one run, a solo shot, and you guys can't score a bleeping run for me?
Back-to-back shutouts.
Yeah.
1-0, 11-0. Different teams.
Yeah, different. I don't think that counts as a back-to-back shutouts. But
it really does bother me to see, as someone who grew up with baseball as my favorite sport when I was young, and then I shouldn't say I transitioned on this show with you two, but I, you know, then basketball was my sport, and then football and basketball and baseball, whatever. It is kind of sad to see. You know, my kids are playing in the middle of playing baseball, and you know who's in the league? Jeff Bagwell's kid. I saw Jeff at the game 2 days ago. His son can rake. Chris Paul's kid. I saw him yesterday. He can rake. Mike Quinn. Mike Quinn. Remember the the quarterback for the Texans. Yeah. He's the coach of my son, of Sebastian, the one we call Snacks, and
he worked for Chase a little
bit. His son can really play.
Yeah,
good baseball player, good athlete. But I am getting a little concerned because my kids, they play, and it's fine, and they have a good time. But then they run out when they get home. They go get on the driveway, and they're playing basketball, and they're arguing about who should be first team All NBA, who should be second team. Whether or not you count Giannis as a power forward or small forward, they argue about, does LaMarcus Aldridge count as a center or power forward? Should you just have a pivot and not a center and all pro? And they're having all the – where does Joker fit in against Embiid and the All-NBA? These are arguments they have all the time. They have zero arguments about baseball. They don't even talk about baseball.
Yeah.
They don't really care that much other than playing. And then we see hardly anybody out there at Minnesota. It's just, I don't know. It just bothers me that I'm really worried about the younger generation.
Hey, listen, we had that when we were, not as good.
You have to be good to have any shot.
Yep. All right, so we're about to go on with Nate, and we're looking at the camera, and we're looking, and we've got, somebody wants to punch him in the face. There, his fist is up, and here we go. It's Melissa Jose. And they're looking at us, I think. I don't know. I'm looking at a camera. I have no idea what we're doing. But I can see, actually, on a delay that we...
Hello, Melissa and John. Is obviously talking golf right now as we speak. But let's talk about the Rockets, John. Granato, Lance Zerline on my left here. And certainly when you look at this game last night, I think a couple of stats kind of fall off the chart, if you will. 18 offensive rebounds for the Warriors, 17 turnovers for the Rockets, not good.
Those are bad numbers. Yep. Don't know how you're going to win a game against the best team in the NBA, the best team of this generation, since Michael Jordan's team, and you're going to put up those kind of numbers. No, they came out in the first quarter turnovers, which is terrible, and then the late rebounds. When you had a chance, you just couldn't grab a rebound, and that was so deflating when they were getting three looks at the basket. You got to do much better. No, Rockets aren't a good rebounding team. That's not what they're going to do. Mm-hmm. But you've got to be better than they were. They can't be that terrible and expect to win.
A couple of injuries on both sides, Lance. You had Steph Curry with the finger, and then you had James Harden with the eyes. But Steph Curry able to come back, still maintain his composure. And James Harden played well, too.
Yeah, James came back and was a factor in the game. I don't think the injuries really had as much to do with the results of this game. I think it was really more just basketball purposes, basketball reasons, turnovers, also obviously rebounds. And it's something that's got to get corrected. And I think James, we've got until Saturday. I think James will be ready to go by Saturday. I think you'll see the Rockets' best effort, and if they come up short, they're done. I mean, they can't come back from 3-0.
0-2 in this series, but the main problem is how do you guard KD, Kevin Durant?
Well, you don't. I mean, you just try to crowd him, and you hope he misses. Well, what you don't do is give up second shots. Because if he's playing well, and then you give up wide-open threes like they did in the fourth quarter to Steph Curry, game gets out of hand then. So we know Kevin Durant's going to play a high level of basketball. You have to limit the easy three looks, and then you have to limit second shots. If you don't, you have no chance against Golden State Warriors.
We talked about the turnovers already, John, but then there's also containing Steph Curry. Godhead's not going to be an issue for him. It's the shooters. They've got three guys who can shoot.
Yeah.
We know this. Talk about that.
And you gave him an open look, and when you got to within three, and he knocked it down, and that's what Steph Curry does. Yep. But the Rockets got shooters, too. And Eric Gordon has been playing well, and Chris Paul and James Harden. Listen, James Harden has got to be super James Harden. He's got to be. I mean, he wasn't bad last night, and he was heroic coming back, but he just led this team all year long. He's got to score 35 to 40 points. It's what he has to do if they're going to win. It's what he did all year. And Chris Paul's going to have to play better, too. They just have to be better. They have to be their best if they're going to beat this team, and they haven't been.
Well, let's hope that James Harden won't have a problem with the eyes on Saturday night. He's John Granato. Lance Zerline will bring it back to you at 9 o'clock and talk more Rockets basketball and what they have to do to get a win in this series. We're live at ESPN 97.5. I'm Nate Griffin along with John Lance, Fox 26 Sports.
There you go. And we're looking at the camera and looking. Bye, Melissa and Jose. We'll see you later.
Hey, what time are you going to Prime today?
I'm not. I'm in tomorrow. I'm in the tournament tomorrow.
What?
I'm not playing today. I'm playing tomorrow. And tomorrow and probably Friday.
Wait, what do you mean?
What do you mean?
How does that work?
It's four first days.
Oh, it's four first dates. Oh, so I just need to have them. So if I wanted to get in today, I could get in today.
Yeah,
why would you not do that? Well, what do you mean?
I can't. I have to. I have a thing.
Hold on. You're playing first days in two tournaments? What does that mean?
No. Okay, so it's four first days.
Right.
It's the top 15% from today.
Yep.
And the top 15% from tomorrow, and the top 15% from Friday, and the top 15% from Saturday, all move on
to
Sunday.
So you're giving yourself more. So if you play more than once.
Well, first of all, if you do finish in the top 15, you get your money back.
Yeah.
Okay. And then if you finish in the top 15% and the second time, you get $2,000. So so that's why you want to play multiple days so that you can, and whichever bigger stack you have, if you finished in the top 15% on both days,
I got you.
You move the bigger stack to Sunday.
So I think I'm going to do that too.
Yeah.
That's smart. We'll be a prime. I'm going to go try to play today. As John mentioned, this is the big tournament. This is the one where you got to have $150,000 guaranteed. It's the largest guaranteed pot in the state of Texas that we've ever seen. But it's expected to get substantially higher than $150,000.
Yeah.
Substantially higher. It's no limit hold'em, by the way.
Somewhere between 600 and 800 entries will be there. So this is going to be huge. So at 508, it's 580 to get in. But you get $600 back if you finish in the top 15% tonight, tomorrow, Friday, and Saturday. Now, Saturday is going to be wild. It's going to be nuts. It's going to be... because that's when people are off and they can go, and it is going to be on. Now, and if you advance from one of these days, you get to Sunday, and now it's on. Now you're playing for the big, big money. The first place will be anywhere from $60,000 to $90,000.
Listen, guys, it's $580, right, to get in?
$580.
So $580, why would you not go throw your chip on the table and see what happens?
Yep.
Just see what happens. You catch a couple of hands, you catch a couple of flops, you catch a couple of rivers, you get a big stack that you can sit on a little bit before you know it, and you're top 15, and you're moving on to Sunday, and that's the goal here at Prime Social. Open 24 hours a day now. Cash games available all the time. Nobody has action all the time like Prime Social. Make sure you get over there for your cash games. Fixed Limit Omaha, Pot Limit Omaha, No Limit Hold'em. All going on to Prime Social. Tournaments typically at noon, but today is the big one. So get your 580, buy your ticket, and jump in either today, tomorrow, Friday, or Saturday. And if you're in the top 15%, you move on to Sunday and a chance at that $150,000 minimum guaranteed pot. PrimeSocialTX.com, 7801 Westheimer, between Fondren and Voss. It's Prime Social.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Cheers and Prime Social. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. Kobo's Q is... He's so mad that we were... Bruh. How could you talk about Papa Charlie's? Dude, he's in another freaking city, okay? Kobos Q, stop. And he's in like Atascocita, right? Cyprus is a long way from there, bruh. Bruh? There's Curtis who goes to Prime. He goes, bruh? Hey, bruh? And he's going to play in the tournament. Are you excited? Are you going to play? You're going to play today?
I'd rather play today, yeah.
Yeah. Today will probably be the smallest group, probably 100-some players.
Just have to make top 15.
Top 15.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Still and, same percentage, so.
Yeah. And then you carry that over to Sunday. Mm-hmm. It matters how many chips you have, too. I mean, because that they bag it, and that's what you got.
Yeah.
So, I mean, while you want to make that top 15, you also...
They've got to bring in chips from somewhere. That's a ton of extra chips.
Oh, yeah. They bought a whole new, all new chips.
Had to.
Yeah, because people might stick those gray chips in their pockets, the regular ones that they use in the regular tournaments.
Right now, if you were to guess, you say Rockets lose 4-1 the series. You give them one, you give them two, you give them a seven-game series win.
I think they can come here and win too. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Actually, I don't think, I still think they can get the 7 games. I think they haven't played anywhere near to their capabilities, anywhere near it. Well, of course, they haven't for over a week now with Utah. They haven't for 4 games now, haven't played up to their potential. Mm-hmm. Or 5 games now.
But if they do, I actually like their chances of getting to a game 7 also.
Yeah.
I really do. I know it feels hopeless when you lose the first 2, but we've seen this before. This isn't our first time watching a basketball series. This happens a lot. You know, that's one of the things that happens. You get into a series, you make mistakes, they went on the road. It's brand new, and I know you got to win 4 out of 5. I get all that. But the Rockets you literally just have to say, let's just play a good quarter at a time, a good stretch at a time, so we don't have mass mistakes.
Have they played a good stretch, though?
Against the Warriors?
Yeah, I guess in the first half of game 1, I guess.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, remember, they went on a run, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I guess. Otherwise, they haven't looked very good. I mean, and they these games were close, and they haven't looked good.
I think they look okay.
They don't look, nah. I mean,
offensively, they're getting some makes.
Yeah, but they're
They were making threes yesterday.
Again, they're not playing their ball. Only 77 shots.
You turn it over. You don't get a shot.
Yeah.
I don't think it's about pace. I think it's about turnover. You have that many turnovers.
Well, late in shot clocks, too. They get very few easy baskets.
Well, they have
very few
easy. Their ISO ball, I'm going to tell you something now. Their ISO yo-yo at the top is really, it's really a concern. They have got to get offense set up through a little bit of movement. Look, it doesn't have to be ball movement. You kick. Somebody get on the dribble and move. Don't just yo-yo it up top outside the 3, because you know it's going to come, a highly contested shot, which has a low percentage chance of making it. Get on the move. Move, dribble, do something.
They don't do that. John wants to talk about his Rockets here on ESPN 97.5. What do you say, John?
Hey, yeah, I personally have never seen a team that's actually worse passing. I know you guys were talking about ISOing up top, but I almost feel like when the Rockets pass the ball outside of Chris Paul, they're worse. Like, the ISOing with Gordon up top, and then you even had Rivers last night, and Harden, like, they have that ISO down to a pass, and then the shot fake and the drive in, and hopefully if Capella could catch a cold right now, we'd get an extra 8-10 points in the game, but Capella can't catch anything below the waist right now, like, period. Like, it's almost you have to throw him an alley-oop, but it's frustrating watching him, man. And then, how about the Green comment? Don't turn a blind eye. Come on, man. There has to be some hidden, I got James Harden in the eye. I just hate Draymond Green, so I'm like poking the bear. But the way he said it was like, turn a blind eye. And he poked Harden in the eye. I was like, come on. There has to be some kind of pun there.
Hmm.
But that's just
I wondered the same thing when he said turn a blind eye. I was like, but he didn't show any. He didn't pause.
Yeah.
And I was like, is he just that unaware?
Yeah, I don't. Do you believe he did it on purpose?
No.
No.
No, he's just scrambling for the
rebound. Yeah, that's all. I mean, do you believe he kicked guys in the nuts on purpose?
Yeah.
Yes,
100%. Did that on purpose.
I don't know. Sometimes I think.
Nut kick is pretty
meditative.
He just
got like some kind of spastic leg.
Really?
Yeah.
Multiple spastic legs?
And I like to always go to him when we want to talk about being, you know, not getting on the referees.
Yeah.
Because focus
on the game, guys. Quit talking about the refs and quit.
He's always under control. Mm-hmm. He never, ever, you know, talks to the referees.
Who led the league in texts?
Complains. He is the voice of reason. So I just go to him immediately.
I like when Draymond's the voice of reason. I think that's great.
Yeah. Shut up. Shut the bleep up, Draymond. Okay? That's all. They're not. Listen, they're going to ISO, but you know what? They do need, James needs to drive more. Drive, dish to the corner. You know, P.J. Tucker is good from the corner. He's got to trust his guys. Hit Gordon. Let Gordon take some shots. Gordon is one of your best offensive players, but he's only good on a catch and shoot.
You know who's getting
so
erased?
So get him in the right position.
You know who's getting erased was, every time that Eric Gordon tried to drive the basket, swat, swat.
Not really.
Challenge.
He had some nice drives and layups.
How many did he have? I saw him get blocked about three times.
No, he had a couple high off the backboard that went in. He actually, when they had no offense for a while, he was the guy that drove and got that done.
I guess I missed that.
Yeah, I guess you did.
I know we're talking about how the Rockets have to play better, and obviously, but that to win, they're going to. But I don't know if offense is their biggest problem because they do what they do. Like we said, they shot over 46%, shot over 42%. I don't think offense is their issue. Where shots are taken, because P.J. Tucker had multiple wide-open threes in the corner, made three of them. You can't – it's the simple things. Rebound, don't turn the ball over. Get more shots. We talked about it early. They had 14 less shots, and the way they're shooting the basketball, you get five more shots, you possibly win that game.
Right.
I don't think offense – sure, we want less stagnant stuff, but offense wasn't their problem. At least shot-making wasn't their problem last night. It was their inability to get more of those shots. More possessions. How do they get more possessions?
Block out
and don't turn the ball over.
Block out, don't throw the ball away.
And I know we're talking about how much – I think right now the Warriors are – they're playing defense at a level we hadn't seen really all year.
Yeah.
Because they're locked in.
No, the Rockets were the good defensive team.
Yeah. The Warriors are locked in defensively against the Rockets.
The Warriors are – they're playing good. They're playing well.
So the Rockets
– are the Rockets easy to cover, though?
Well, we watched them. Our guy Ali tweeted about it.
They're hard to cover from the standpoint of
James can score anyway on you. James is phenomenal.
Right. Yeah, and also Eric Gordon can put the ball on the ground. Chris Paul is good once he gets into the paint. He's really good with pump fakes, you know, pushing fades, and he's really clever. But you know where they're going to be. Other than James's penetration, I do think it's easier to guard. Now, that's a relative term, once again, because you do have guys who can still score even with small time on the clock, but they're not going to be elusive. They're not going to be like, God, they were hitting us from all angles. We just didn't know where they were coming from. You know exactly where they're coming from. They're not going to be slick and clever too much. It's going to be James stepping back or James hitting you off a dribble. That's what it's going to be. So I think they're easy to guard from that standpoint. It's just a matter of execution. It's not a matter of I'm sure there's more X's and O's that go into it than I'm probably making it sound like. But at the same time, what do you need to know? James is going to either drive or James is going to step back. Or you've got a couple of other variations. But that's primarily what it's going to be.
You got to stop the alley-oop. I mean, that's a weapon. When he drives and the alley-oop or dish to the corner. But you know what? That's offense. That's moving the ball. That's making the defense actually work. Either you got to come off. If you come off Tucker to help out on the alley-oop, then Tucker's going to be open in the corner.
They did it, though. But
you got to do more of it.
Utah did a good job of finding ways to challenge the alley-oop, and now the Warriors are too. It's not the easy catch and dunks that we saw for most of the year. For really, frankly, most of the last 2 to 3 years. We're just not seeing it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Teams have learned how to step at James and then fade back into Capella, and he's not getting the easy catch.
No, he's not.
He's not getting those easy ones
anymore.
Well,
he's not making it easy either, what with his hands.
No, let's talk about somebody who does make it easy on you, and that's Gritty. Gritty is your chance to go gritty.com. It's grid, G-R-I-D-D-Y. You can connect directly to the grid, just like all the energy companies. Gritty allows you to pay $10 a month, and you are now a member of a club that gets into the wholesale energy business. You can jump in and get rates at the wholesale rates. I am on Pace. I looked at it just yesterday because their app is phenomenal. There is total transparency. And transparency is a big deal nowadays, and it should be a big deal at all times. You want to know what you're paying, how much you're paying, what you're paying for, and you know, is it a viable cost? Well, when you're buying directly the same rates that the energy companies are getting, you're getting a transparent, great deal. Last month, I ended up spending less than $100 again last month. So right now, there's really some great, there's 2.5 right now is what the kilowatt cent per hour is right now. Gritty, you know how I know that? Because it shows exactly what it is. It shows what my wholesale electricity price was, what my delivery charges are, my membership fee, my taxes and fees, and then at the bottom, there's my all-in cost for the month. And that's how easy it is.
anytime I want, I can leave. There are no contracts with Gritty. They feel so confident that your ability to get wholesale energy for just $10 per month and all that you want, there's no limitations, that's something that should draw you in. $350 to $400 per year are the annual average savings. But if you have a bigger house, you consume more energy, you are going to typically save even more through Gritty. Go to the website right now, gogritty.com. That's gogritty.com.
This is Kareem Jackson, and you listen to ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Cheers and Prime Social. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I'm eating ribs and pork belly, brisket. John's going to have just maybe a light salad and some cucumber tomato salad later.
I'm just not. I want to eat.
You better set your plate.
Just and a yogurt.
I'm going to set a plate aside. What, are the salespeople already in there?
Well, Brenda's already been around. Okay. So you know the message will get sent. You better hurry up.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. What is this? Who said that Game of Thrones doesn't? They set records with their bloody battle, okay? 17.8 million viewers. Who was it that said?
A guy named Darren Lavelle.
Screw Darren Lavelle.
No, Darren's fine. He was just talking. You can't compare. I had a tweet that I said, I don't remember my must-watch moments in my lifetime, which I didn't necessarily, I didn't watch MASH, but I knew that was considered huge at the time. I think it's the most watched ever non-sporting event. Had over 100 million people watch it. It was MASH, and what I put was...
Forever, that was the number one until the Super Bowls passed.
Right. I put MASH... Seinfeld breaking because I remember Seinfeld was a monster.
The Cosby final episode was a huge one too.
I don't remember that being as big as Seinfeld. Seinfeld was a cultural big deal. Breaking Bad, which maybe I'm overstating Breaking Bad,
but I think a lot of people picked up Breaking Bad later, and maybe the last episode. The last episode wasn't nearly as big as this Game of Thrones is.
No,
Breaking Bad's
so. No, I don't think so. But I mentioned that one too. And then I forgot one of the biggest ones of all time really was Who Shot JR.
Yeah.
And I was young and I didn't watch a lot of Dallas, but Who Shot JR, that episode and the episode when they came back after the writer's strike, those were monsters.
Yeah.
So those should have been on. Jane Slater brought it up to me and she's right. Those should have been on the list.
But
the comment was,
did you at all ever think about Pam Ewing? No,
I was probably too young.
Really?
Yeah,
I don't think you're ever too young to think about Victoria Principal.
She seemed like wait. Oh, I'm thinking of Sue Ellen.
No,
yeah, she was
Pam.
Yeah, she was hot.
Oh God,
I had a mom.
Everybody
thing going
talks
on
about
for her.
Ginger and Mary.
Yeah, I had a mom thing going on for Pam.
Pam Ewing, Victoria Principal.
I had a mom thing going on for her
and Cheryl. Ladd.
Not Mindy from Mork and Mindy.
Cheryl
I didn't
Ladd.
Care about her. Yeah. Oh. Well, that's just regular. I'm having special fins in my pants type of thing.
Yeah, when you're eight.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. For me, I think I just
right,
think
go
I
out, and smoke a cigarette, come back, watch Cheryl Ladd.
Yeah, I remember it being more like
get a
nine
Twinkie.
For me.
Yep.
I'm like, hey, why is special feelings happening down there? Mm-hmm. Well, son, that's just Aaron Gray from Buck Rogers in the 21st century. That's why you're having special feelings like that. Why is she in that super tight white jumpsuit there with Twiggy going Twiggy, Twiggy, Twiggy? Why do I keep wanting to see her try to bend over and pick things up? Well, because that's what happens when you get to a certain age. You're maybe a little early for you in third grade, right, Lance, but that's why Aaron Gray.
Why is Ginger dressed in that nightgown? In that cocktail dress on the island eating a coconut.
Because how you get people.
That's right. That's how you love people.
It's a lure.
Yeah. That whole Marianne was hotter than Ginger is the biggest load of crap ever.
That's not.
They tried to feed us.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is. Marianne was, nice, wholesome. That's what you marry. You want a Ginger, that dirty.
Watch yourself.
It's been a real problem. This show's been a real problem with him.
Well, if I stay up late, guess what happens?
Step late eating barbecue is what happens.
Yeah,
you get meat sweats.
Yeah,
that's what. How many times have you been back to that trough, Lance? Are we three times, four times?
It's just two and a half. One, I just picked it and I didn't count that as a plate.
You just pick it.
Yeah, I didn't count it as
it's
a plate.
It's got to be rules, right?
Well, no, well, I didn't do it with my hands.
If you're eating it, then it's a plate. Yeah. It's not picking.
No, if you don't put it on a plate, it doesn't count. My dad taught me that. Yeah.
Phony Raheel doesn't mind at all when Lance eats on the air.
No, Phony Raheel is a picture, has a profile picture of Riz Ahmed as well.
Let's get Dave in here. Let's talk about his Rockets. What do you say, Dave?
Morning, guys. You guys may have covered this before, but defensively, I would love someone to explain to me the advantage of putting Capella or whoever's in as your big at the three-point line guarding people, because you got no rim protection. I guarantee the offensive rebound percentage skyrockets, and he's not blocking shots out there. I don't understand why they continue to do that. He's never stealing or blocking shots. He's getting taken on the drive or juked for a three-pointer, and we got no rebounding underneath. I just can't, for the life of me, understand what the advantage of that is.
Well, I mean, Dave, you do have to play the high screen role. You don't want to just let one of these elite shooters have a screen to work off of and shoot threes. You have to have a challenge. And so your bigs have to come out there because they will screen you at a moment's notice, because they've got every guy on their roster can come out and screen you. And every guy out there at any point, pretty much all five guys, at least four, are going to be able to shoot threes. So you've got to bring your bigs out there. You just have to, because of the threat of the screen and roll. When they screen, you got to be ready to step over and catch it. Because if you don't, do you really want Klay Thompson getting a free screen and being able to step right up? They don't need much room to shoot, Klay or Steph.
Well, the counteraction would be not to have Capella on the floor, but then that means you're playing more Shumpert, more House, which you would like to, because he's a...
Don't say more Shumpert. Don't ever say that again.
Okay, I get it. If you want Capella off the floor because he's a defensive liability and he's not doing enough offensively to counteract that, then you're putting on one of your subpar perimeter players.
And how are you going to get a rebound? Well, ever. I mean, at least Capella had 10 rebounds. Even though he didn't seem like, it seemed like it must have hit him in the head and it, you know, then went off one of the Warriors out of bounds, because it didn't seem like he ever went up and beat anyone for a rebound. But you have absolutely no chance to get a rebound if you take Clint Capella off and put Daniel House in.
Well, you guys are having separate arguments.
But if you're going to do that and have better perimeter defense, you're going to give up rebounds.
But what the guy said was rim protection, and you're talking about better switch off options.
Well, he's saying he doesn't want Capella out there because it doesn't benefit him.
Yeah.
Well, if you don't want Capella out there, you're putting on a perimeter player, because the theory is you'd be better out there on the perimeter. Well, Daniel House isn't that great of a defender, and if you want Shumpert out there, you're not going to get anything offensively. So you got to switch off. It's either you're going to have Capella, who you hope can be a rim protector or rebound or at least catch a lob, or you want better perimeter defense. The Rockets just don't have enough perimeter players who can play in this series.
Well,
that's the problem.
But keep Capella under the basket. And use somebody else, one of the other four out
there.
The
Warriors will search you out. Hey, who's guarding Capella? Like, you saw what the Warriors have done. Like, the Rockets, I think Ali, our guy, he covers Rockets, at Rockets _ insider. He was talking about it. The Rockets dribbled the ball for 20 seconds trying to get Curry on them, and all the Warriors did was off the ball. They kept switching. Oh, you're going out there to set a screen? We'll switch off. Oh, you're going out there to set a screen? To switch off. The Rockets don't do that as much, so the Warriors are searching out Capella and bringing him out. Whoever he's guarding will set a screen. The Warriors have tried to avoid that as much as possible with just having guys switch off the ball.
No. It's not a good team. And I don't know what the hell happened. Well, it's the Warriors. Guess what? They're really good offensively. They've got so many options that you're hamstrung defensively. You really are.
You know,
they've got
the other thing?
So many scorers.
They're smart, too.
Yeah.
Their players are smart.
Yeah, yep. Let's get Chance in here before we take a break. Hey, Chance. Chance.
Hey, it's Chris. Sorry about that, man.
Oh, hey, Chris.
Hey, yeah, you're good. You're good. I did have a quick comment. You know, you get on the phone, you want to talk about one thing, and you guys talk a little bit. Hey, so I used to watch WWE for Miss Elizabeth when she used to walk Randy Macho Man Savage down. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, that's understandable.
Going to talk about.
That's understandable.
Yeah.
So, hey, real quick, is it weird that when Daryl, we talk about the rotation with the Rockets, and we talk about, I know, Lance, you've been a real big proponent of our new free agency is buying out contracts, which I agree with. When we got Kenneth Perry, or the manimal, whatever we want to call him, like, he was a super shot in the arm. He's a great rebounder. Like, he played 1 minute, but I feel like during the regular season, he was giving us 18, 24, 22 minutes. I was looking back at some of the box scores. you know, he'd get 8-10 points, but he'd have 13-15 rebounds. You know, I wanted to see, you know, what you guys thought. Like, I know the rotation slims down, but why aren't we playing anybody? Like, I don't get it.
I don't. This makes no sense to me. Go ahead. I'm sorry, Chris.
No, you're good. I had one more question. I'm at my office, so you guys could just put me back on hold when you're done so I can hear. But NFL free agency, Lance, I saw we picked up Caron Higdon, the running back from Michigan. Do you think he's got a shot as going in undrafted and making our roster?
I absolutely do.
While you guys answer those.
Yep, I absolutely do. Higdon is a hard-playing guy. He runs it, keeps it between the tackles. He is – I mean, it's not going to be – it's not going to be fancy with Caron Higdon. You're not going to have a lot of – wiggle. I'll read you what my bottom line was on him. I had a solid backup grade on him. He actually tested fairly well. He's 5'9", 206. So the one concern is he's 206, but he plays like he's about 220. I mean, he plays like a big running back, but he's not a big running back. I thought he'd go on probably the sixth round. I said, what you see is what you get, running back with good vision and consistent physicality in his approach. Higdon is a one-cut runner who is a little undersized relative to his physical running style. He uses his vision and lane choices to avoid congested areas, but lacks elusiveness to slip open field tackles. He's a willing blocking option on third downs, but hasn't proven to be much of a threat out of the backfield, and is likely pegged as an early down backup with the toughness to handle spot starting duties if needed. And that's, you know, that's how I see him. I think that he could become, a spot starter if you need it. But I think he is a guy, even though he's smaller than Deontay Foreman, who could end up challenging Deontay Foreman for those carries. If Deontay Foreman doesn't come in shape, if Deontay Foreman doesn't stay healthy, if Deontay Foreman doesn't perform at a high level, they can just go cheaper with Higdon, cut ties with Foreman, and move on. So I think that's something to keep an eye on. The problem is he's not really a third down option, and either is – I'm not sure Deontay Foreman is either, so I don't really know, you know –
a grade on Travion or Higdon?
Travion.
Yeah.
Not a lot, though.
No?
Not a lot higher. As on Travion. I thought Travion went where he was supposed to, about where he was supposed to go. Yeah. Most teams said he was a fifth-round pick, and no one wanted to believe it because he was so productive in the SEC, and that's, you know, and that's true, but, I mean, just no one saw anything that they thought was special. And with that said, he's a good player. Travion's a good football player. Fifth-rounders make teams all the time.
Well, they should.
Travion is going to be a solid NFL backup with a chance to.
He got drafted in, just to be clear.
Travion got drafted six?
Oh, round six, yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, sixth round. Yeah, but see, we're used to hear third rounders not making the team. So if you're in the sixth round.
Yeah, there's a sliding scale.
Right, for teams.
Yeah, Rockets, he's like the equivalent of maybe a first.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. All right, taking a break. 713-780-3776. Anything you want to talk about, you're more than welcome.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Cheers and Prime Social. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. Uncle Freddy says Elizabeth from 8 is enough. That got him going as a kid. Okay, I see it. You'd have to go through some layers there, but I get it. I get that. When Cheryl Ladd was right there in a bikini on the open, I mean, you don't have to go through all those layers. You know what I'm saying? I'm
trying to think of some more updated shows.
Oh, well. But
you know who?
Saved by the Bell.
Yeah, but those are kids who would have been like similar ages, or I guess they would have. They're actually older. There's going to be some with some Melrose Place fetishes.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
90210.
Yeah, but like Tiffany Amber, what's her name is?
Yeah, she lives here, right?
She does.
Yeah.
Well,
she lives in Houston as her home base.
Nice.
True story. And she does cookbooks. She's really into the food scene and stuff like that. But she travels. She's kind of bi-coastal, so she's not really here all the time. What about
Dell, you remember, did you watch, what about, what's her name, Josie Brissett, the blonde on Melrose Place?
I know who you're talking about.
Yeah. I liked her better than Andrew Shue's sister.
Well, you, why do you refer to her as Andrew Shue's
sister? Oh, no, I like Elizabeth Shue. No, I like Elizabeth Shue. Who was the other one, Courtney Smith or Courtney Thorne-Smith? Yeah, I was not. I liked her in this movie called Summer School when she was a surfer girl. That was right on time. But
you didn't like her
that,
on a court
like,
in the gym?
Nah. I didn't watch that show. I didn't like Jim Belushi. Heard he was, Eric Layton told us he was the one of the biggest a-holes of all time.
Jim?
And would intentionally get people. I that one may not have been on the air. I won't tell that story. Just may have gotten people hired that he owed money to or whatever. Or no, that's what it was. I'll tell a story. Yeah. There's his next door neighbor. She said, I can't pay for this fence. They wanted to go. Hey, he wanted to go half on a new fence. She said, I can't pay for it. So he went to the showrunner, said, hey, I need you to write somebody into a script. This lady right here, her name is, she's great. She's a hot name, hot actress, everything. They're like, okay, we'll write her in. Cause he had all the juice and all the leverage. They gave her a very small part so she could get paid. He just made sure that she got paid so she could give him the money so he could get his fence. That's all it was. He got his neighbor put in a show so they'd have to pay her so he could get his half of the money for the fence.
Well, good.
I respect that hustle, to be honest with you.
I do, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, except you're Jim Belushi. You should be able to pay for it. Okay?
Yeah, no. Hey, we're going half. Well, it's probably California. It's probably a Beverly Hills home. It's probably, how much is this fence? $47,000.
Million.
What?
1.2.
Okay, I need you to kick in 23.5. She's like, so, what? So, no, I don't have that money. I've been here for 60 years. I this house is paid for. I don't have money like you do. Hey, you do any acting? No? Well, you do now.
Yeah, you do now. Guess what?
Be on set at 5 a.m. for makeup.
So, I didn't know if you... Did you see this? AJ Hoffman. He was in a... And I don't know how... How the hell did I get into this thing? But he was in a... A real Twitter battle last night. So apparently AJ said he got into a war with Kev that Dude. Okay? I mean, these two went back and forth.
About what? How'd you get in this?
I have no... Well, I follow AJ. And it's the whole thing is on there. And these two are going back and forth for about an hour, hours, it looks
like. About what?
They wanted to fight. Now, Kev, that dude wants to fight AJ.
Why? What is this about? What were they arguing about?
How
did you get put in it again?
I don't know. That's the best you got, lame ass. Okay, I'll be done then. Thanks for listening to the show, Chief Wiggum.
Chief Wiggum?
I guess he's calling him fat guy or something.
Chief Wiggum.
I don't know. I don't listen. Let's get that bleep straight. Only call because when I started my car, I heard your lame ass giving awful takes. Do better. LOL. Sure, that old turn on my car and heard a show I never listened to and felt compelled to call excuse.
That is kind of...
That's classic.
That is kind of...
And then he comes with this. Kev, that dude says, AJ, you know you're awful. I know you're awful. Fred knows you're awful. Granato knows you're awful.
Oh, you got... Oh, and they added you?
You suck, dude, and it's okay.
And he added you, too?
No, I don't know. How the hell did I get involved in this?
You clearly have talked to... What's his name again?
Kev That Dude. Kev That Dude are
boys. You talked to Kev That Dude and told him that you think AJ's awful.
Well, I never heard of Kev That Dude before this, but okay.
Well, maybe you just know a Kevin, and you told a Kevin that.
Oh, you know Kevin?
The only Kevin is KJ, and this is not KJ.
Yeah, Kevin's that dude.
Kev That Dude.
He is that dude.
Do you think some people call him that dude, or that he adopted that himself?
Well, I think he's adopting his names because his Twitter is at I'm a baller.
Huh.
So Kev That Dude is kind of high on himself.
He does think a lot of himself.
Yeah, and he misspelled that.
But not a lot of AJ.
No, he doesn't think much of AJ at all. But if he listens to our show and he likes us, then I'm with him. AJ, you're awful. Okay?
Wow. Holy moly.
You better watch yourself criticizing coworkers.
Well, John, like John said, he's siding with the listener.
Well, and another coworker
of
ours.
Does AJ have a meter? Does AJ have a meter?
Another coworker of ours. Did you see Barry's tweet? I get motivated because of the people I work with and how they hate me.
They disrespect me.
They disrespect me.
I'm disrespected by my peers or something.
What?
I'm like, who's he talking about?
Who the hell?
Here it is.
And I assume it's John.
At this point.
It's not me. I never disrespect
Barry. Look what you already did to AJ.
AJ, you already said he's awful.
No, I didn't. I said AJ's awful.
Yeah, I know. So why wouldn't you say that about Barry?
Because Barry's not awful.
This is what this is what Barry says. At this point, the most motivating thing for me in radio and the thing that drives me is the disrespect I get from my peers and coworkers. Who is he talking about?
That? The you sales department?
You know what he didn't tell you is that's a retweet from my own personal thoughts. That's my personal thoughts about you two.
He's your ghostwriter?
And I get disrespected by my co-workers. He basically retweeted my own personal diary.
No, I don't think that was that was your thoughts?
Barry's
his ghostwriter.
Wow. Barry got that was my burner account. Barry's a burner account for me.
Well,
and I screwed up. And I meant to say,
if they're actually your thoughts, I would say, well, you deserve it.
See, this is why I feel disrespected, and this is what motivates me. That's why
you get up every morning?
Yeah, I get up every morning. I'm like, I want to show Dell.
How are you showing motivation? It doesn't seem like you're responding with better effort.
Yeah, but just getting through the day is
He's waiting to eat during the break now?
It's also form.
No, he's not.
Yeah.
Oh.
I'm not. I'm waiting for this break to get here.
No.
You're not going back again.
Let's get to a break.
You're not going back again, are you?
Are you going for fifths?
What?
Let's talk about just time to break, period. Bye, Dell.
It is time to break.
Go get some barbecue.
We got a break because Nate's going to be with us.
Is the mac and cheese still out there? Oh, good.
It's a break. Time to eat. All right. We got to take a break. Nate joins us on the other side right here.
They are lying on me. ESPN 97.5.